Sure, for Slado, Triple J. That's the Muslims right there with naughty word that starts with F. These naughty word that starts with effing fascists.
we love it.
And that delightful voice right there. It's my absolute pleasure to say Kader from the band is now on the phone. My friend, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. Now, where in the world do we find you as we're having this conversation?
I'm over here in North Carolina, and it's about 8:30 p.m. I know you said it's early for you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's 10 in the a.m. for me, but it's, you know, I've got a long day ahead of me, so I haven't had coffee just yet.
Oh, no.
Now, the Epitaph debut, the naughty word that we just had playing the album is now upon the world. How is the vibe in the Muslims camp?
Oh, my God. The vibe is so good. It's so problematic. We're still on cloud nine. We're loving it. Full album just came out this past Friday. So we're getting all the like positive and negative, bait, getting all the return on our bait. So it's been awesome.
I mean, with an album that's so, you know, confrontational and you know it's going to ruffle just a couple of feathers, do you prepare in a specific way for the vitriol that'll come with the love?
Not really. I mean, usually what we'll do is we'll just, you know, get up at a local bar and we'll just have a couple of celebratory drinks. Then we'll like refresh, see what's coming in, laugh at the haters, and really just like read out loud and enjoy the positive affirmations. We bask in all of it.
I love it. I really, really do. And, you know, like starting from the beginning, because the Muslims in terms of, you know, especially my experience with them is fairly kind of recent. You know, I remember a quote that said that while Trump becoming president would be, you know, bad on basically every level, it would be a great time for punk rock. And that's that's especially true for the Muslims, because you actually formed around the inauguration, everything like that. So I'm starting from the start. What can you tell me about the moment when the Muslims went from becoming an idea to something that had to happen?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, man, I had been dreaming about wanting to start a punk band for a lot of years. But, you know, I was too much of a chicken S-word. But as the rage continued to build, let's keep it a buck. Once the news came down, I was like, okay, I have a couple of options. Just randomly start assaulting people on the street, full of rage, flinging my coffee at random people jogging. Just either I can lose my mind, or I can like put this into the place that brings me joy, put it into something constructive. And it was definitely music, and it definitely had to be loud, fast, and crunchy. And it had to be punk. It just had to be punk. And so then I reached out to our drummer, Farah, and asked him. I was like, hey, I'm really thinking about starting a punk band, a queer Muslim punk band. And he just like bugged out and was like, are you serious? And so I was like, okay. I'm going to do this. It's worth it. And then we put out some feelers and we got our basis, and it's been just like a glorious ride ever since.
I love it. And your bassist in particular, I've read you speak about them before, and they are apparently they're actually quite a like, you know, I don't mean this is like a backhanded compliment, but they're like a good bassist though, aren't they? They're like, they're a trained, like.
They're, yeah. You know, as I like to say, I was like, they have PhD in bass is what I say. Of course, that's not a thing, and that's not what they have. They have a degree in something, music, but there's, I mean, just gross on the hands. But actually why we went with them is because, you know, I put out some feelers, met up with a couple of folks. And when I met up with Abu Shay and just, you know, cause I was just like, I'm interested in doing a music project. And so when I caught up with them and I told them what I wanted to do, they just like geeked and freaked out. And so I was like, okay, this is absolutely the person. They were like, oh my God, what? I was like, that's the excitement I want.
I love it. And, you know, as you just said, you know, the Muslims are a self-described black and brown queer punk act coming through at a time where we really are seeing the destruction of the homogeny that has been punk for, you know, especially the years when I grew up. And, you know, even I've been doing this show for 7 years now. And from when I've started the show to now, the the change has been dramatic. You know, queer acts like Gloss and Hers, and then and people of color acts such as Soul Glow and Oxymorons, and then, you know, acts like, you know, yourself and We Are the Union as well, sort of crossing, you know, both of those intersections. As someone who is so deeply ingrained into this culture from multiple angles, what do you believe is really driving this change now?
Oh man, what's driving it now? You know, I think just like, I don't know. I would say like as societies progress and as like each generation gets like louder and more obnoxious about like not tolerating injustices, you know? Cause I think that happens. I think that like each generation is going to put up with less and less crap. And so I think there's just been, especially since Trump, but even before Trump, I think a fire has been lit under people. I think different civil rights and social justice movements have really lit it under people. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if Black Lives Matter kind of single-handedly inspired a lot of people to go ahead and start bands, you know, to speak about their own experience of injustice or whatever it was, you know. That's kind of what I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I guess Then the follow-up from that, I mean, you know, obviously as a, you know, middle-class white dude, like, you know, I've always thought, you know,
wait, you're white?
I know.
Okay, right? This is over. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Yeah, what the hell?
I apologize for bursting that bubble. <I'm done>. But, you know, like, you know, from my experience growing up, I always assumed that, you know, the punk community was so accepting of everyone. And then I kind of grew up and realized that, you know, wasn't exactly that true, but from your experience, has it been more or less accepting of the Muslims than you thought?
Oh man, hella accepting of the Muslims, absolutely. Like, and I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like me rolling up, and I think maybe we're also playing in different spaces, or things have just kind of changed. You know, we play like Punk Black and like Pansy Fest and these kind of festivals that were cut out and specifically designed for like the goonies within the punk scene, the outsider within the outsider scene, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy that even had to happen. But, you know, it was like, we're going to carve out our own space where we actually, you know. And so we were playing in a lot of those scenes. But even outside of that, I think as a whole, the punk scene has absolutely been welcoming. It's absolutely been supportive to us. Yeah, people have really had our back, especially as these like basement dwellers have come out across the internet. Like, I feel like monks have come out the woodwork just to like chop them down a couple of notches, and that's been really fun to see.
I love it. All right, well, we're gonna go to one of the tracks from the album right now and kind of come back and have a bit of a chat around the challenges around the album. So we're gonna go to a track called Illegals right now. Tell us a little bit about the song as we go into it.
Yeah, definitely one of my faves off of the album, Illegals. I think, you know, and it feels really timely, especially right now, but, you know, just in general, what I really wanted to do is I wanted to take statements that people actually say about immigrants, about like, you know, South and Central American folks, and when folks were fleeing up to Greece, you know, like these are like almost quote for quote things that people have said about other human beings. And I wanted to do kind of like a little clickbait with that, where it's like, yeah, you hear this stuff and we're kind of numb to it. But then when the chorus kicks in, it really hits you why it's so shocking. It really hits you. Because like we're very used to like humanizing white people in a way that we're not used to even humanizing ourselves or other people. And so you get hit with this chorus that's kind of like a bat across the face, you know, but it's also like an earworm and it's catchy and it's kind of fun. You're like, what the hell am I experiencing right now? And that kind of just drives the point home, where it's like, yeah, this stuff is screwed up and nobody should talk like that. And also, let's keep it bars historically, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Love it. You're a sure fast lad. We've got Card there from the Muslims on the phone having a chat in this track right here. It's called Illegals. Sure, fast, loud. That's the Muslims right there with Illegals. Kader is on the phone telling us all about the album and the experience around the album. And, you know, the album cover itself features a particularly lovely drawing of a quote-unquote punk icon who has changed dramatically over the years, getting punched square in the face. Now, if you'll forgive me for quoting Batman, but it kind of really does reference that idea of, you know, either dying a hero or living long enough to see yourself become the villain. Now, I think that's... Sorry, go on.
Oh, no. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah. I was going to say, what kind of moves into the question around, you know, like, I think apathy is such a thing that people fall into and really, really kind of struggle with. And that's obviously where that particular person went. And so for you, what keeps you fighting?
Yeah. What keeps me fighting? You know, I think this is so funny. I asked a buddy of mine not too long ago, and I was just like, hey, there's a black guy. And I was just like, yo, do you think that if racism was eradicated, or if it never existed, if like capitalism, class hierarchies, if all these things, if all the oppressions in all the world never existed, do you still think we would be the type of like looking out for other people, equality driven, fighting for what's good, you know, kind of people, you know? And I think, you know, I think the saucy step back was just like, I don't know, you know? And I think that was like a really deep question. And I think like when you're younger in this way and you feel like there are some powers up against you, you know, it's easier to be, you know, controversial and like a little radical and like, don't tell me what to do. Cause that's part of youth, right? It's like part of being a youth is being like a little pushback. But then when you grow up, right, into being this person who's got a pretty comfortable, like rotten, pretty comfortable financial life, moving through the world as a white dude, moving through the world as an icon, it's very easy to go ahead and let yourself harden. I mean, personally, I think he was kind of trash, you know, the whole time. People were like, oh, he's ruined his legacy. And I was like, his legacy was always garbage to me. But, you know, but then it's, you know, the way people say, like, as you get older, you get more conservative. And it's like, no, what you're saying is like, as you get more comfortable, you'll start to care less and less about people. Like, that's garbage. That's absolute garbage. So, yeah, we wanted to punch him. We wanted to punch him. First of all, I wanted to punch him, but the label didn't think that would happen. We didn't think he'd consent to it, and they really didn't like my idea of a surprise punch for the cover. So we linked up with Chrissy Rhodes, super talented designer for this cover, you know. I was also making a point about the scene, you know. Like, we're killing these masters. We're killing these icons, these people that have made the scene feel super uncomfortable for punks like me. You know what I mean? It was like, let's get rid of all that. We shouldn't have to create subs of a subculture and have goonies amongst the goonie scene. The whole scene should belong to everyone. And if the scene can't belong to everyone, we need to go ahead and, you know, kick people out.
I like it. I like it. You know, I think that kind of moves nicely into the next question, you know, where it's like, you know, we look at these ideas of, you know, toppling capitalism and you know, ending racism and all these kind of big ideas. And I think the one thing that really puts people off is that it's such like it's looking at the mountain, like it's saying that is Mount Everest. How am I going to get up to the top? And they don't really kind of ever think it's just, well, it's just the first step. There's one step and then you take another step and then you take another step. So, you know, again, as someone who experiences this and lives and breathes this scene is, you know, what would you say are the first steps that someone could take to being a better ally in those situations?
Oh man. First step to being a better ally. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I would really say like, Google some things, like put in some random questions that you're like, some random things that you've been curious about somebody different from you, about a black person, about like a trans person, like whatever you're curious about, start going down some rabbit holes. We've all done it. I looked up DIY home projects and I end up on the weirdest YouTube holes, but I've also found really cool stuff. And so like, if you just start with one question, it's going to guide you to a lot of conversation, you know, you'll find a whole lot of things. You'll find a whole lot of answers. And I would say like, practice being self-aware. If you're like, does every space I go to, like, is every space I go to exclusively white? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know what I mean? Like when you walk into a venue, are you like, you know, just, I don't know. It's just like when you don't have to think about it, you choose not to, but I think you should. I remember like one of my closest homies who walked to a spot and one of the first things they said, they were like, damn, it's so white in here. And this is a white person. And they noticed it before I noticed it. And I was like, and now we're best friends, because I was like, you know what? That's a keeper. You know, someone who could just be a little bit aware. And don't come from a place of guilt, dude. If you got guilt, sort it. Guilt doesn't help anybody. Shame doesn't help anybody. It's about just like owning up to where we're at and how we want to move forward, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I really, really vibe that statement. And I think it's like strange, but in a hilarious way that you kind of connected like Googling anything. And I was talking about racism, and then there's like Googling DIY projects as well. I've 100% done the same.
Right. I've gone down so many weird holes where I'm like, now I'm watching someone who's like trying to make a sponge, and it's 2 a.m. and I'm just watching it.
I'm 100% certain that I could convert a van into a house now, because I've watched that many people do it.
Right. I could do this. I've gone to YouTube school.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Running it out with a band for one last question is, what do you want the future to hold for the Muslims?
Dude, Joshua, you're asking really good damn questions, all right?
I'm trying to keep it interesting.
What does the future to hold? Something that we told ourselves our first year as a band, and something we've continuously reminded ourselves of whenever things got stressful. And it was part of like a mantra, like a vicar, when we were even thinking about reaching back out to Epitaph when they hit us up, was just like, we want to do this for as long as it feels fun and it feels good. As long as we're like continuing to be in right relationship with each other. Like, we don't want to be one of these band horror stories, like Rotten, who's like suing Bammy. It's like, no, it's never about that, because it's always been about like being in a right relationship. It's always been about like community and the feel good and getting the feelings out and bringing the people in, you know? And so we want to do this for as long as it feels good and as long as it feels fun. And once it's not fun, we're out. Like, we're done. We're just like, once it just like, if it starts to just feel like a job, it's like, you don't want to do this anymore, you know? What's in the future for us? Like, I've always wanted to have a cult, so I'm super stoked about that, you know. Building out a little monk's cult of a bunch of just like ridiculous goony leftists that are like, hell yeah, like, let's go fight some rich people. I don't even know, like, but you know, I think that's it. I think the future's kind of open, as long as we stick to those values. It's really open.
I think that's perfect. I think that's absolutely perfect. Kader, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat. I can't tell you how much this means to me. I'll let you choose the song we're going to go out with. We're going out with a bit of an odd one. I'm going to get this title right. The title of the song is John McCain's Ghost Sneaks into the White House and Teabags the President.
Did I get that? Yes, right? Sir.
please tell us about this song as we say goodbye.
Oh, man. You know, this song basically is, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Nobody likes John McCain, but if John McCain was able to get under the president's skin that much, we definitely support his resurrection, Jesus style, to come back and lay some solid brain game on the president's face. So that's pretty much it. It's just a fun banger.
You're on Short Fast Loud. This is the Muslims. This track is called John McCain's Ghost Sneaks into the White House and Teabags the President.
Smash.
John McCain's Ghost.